It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy.
That's your fault. The soothing sounds of There's Cat Stevens, so father and son.
See, I wanted to go the darker route. I wanted to make people just cry in the beginning and do Cats in the Cradle, but I think that that's better.
Well, you know what? There's a backstory on this song. So this album is on Cat Stevens, T for the Tillerman. And it was the first record that my parents bought together after they were married. And I still have the original record.
Oh, wow.
And my parents would play it all the time. And I loved this song. And it's a story talk of a father talking to the son.
Nice.
And so it's sentimental to me. I might cry, listen to it.
Oh.
Like, you know, just think about the good old days.
Dude, that's one, like, you frame it up, put it in the office sort of thing.
I probably should, actually. Yeah. It's one of my favorite records of all time. I love, you know, some people may say it's, like, cheesy, but I love it. Oh, man, we've gotten into the podcast way too long without introducing the podcast and welcoming people. So welcome, everyone, to the podcast Hot Tub. It's your boy, TJ. I'm with my buddy, Ron.
What is up?
How you doing, Ron?
Dude, I'm doing good. It was a strong weekend.
Tell me about it.
So it was Father's Day weekend.
What, what? Shout out to all the fathers.
Shout outs to the dad and
all the fathers that know their fathers. And the rest. The rest. Who should be paying child support.
Exactly. No, we had a nice weekend. So part of the Father's Day weekend, we had a bit of a man day on Friday. Everyone took a half day. And
whoa. Everyone meaning you and I.
You and I, and then two of our friends.
Yes. And yes, I know we have friends.
I know.
It's shocking to everyone that listens to the podcast, but we do have some friends.
And we went swimming, we played some cornhole, and then we went to Texas Day Brazil. And if you are a fan of the podcast and have listened to the earlier episodes, you know how important it is for us to patron restaurants like that that are Brazilian barbecues, where we can get a bunch of steak and get the meat sweat. So it was delightful.
It is not Father's Day unless you are having the meat sweats.
That's right. You should be uncomfortably full.
Yes. So, yes, our weekend was epic.
Yep.
We had this whole idea we were going to, like, party with the dudes, record a whole bunch of podcasts, recorded zero. So that was awesome. Very effective.
It wasn't our fault. Our two buddies, they weren't ready to be done partying, and neither were we. So after we had the meat sweats, we went back and all watched a movie together, and
yes,
and then watched some Rick and Morty. And so, like, it was just some bro time, and a lot of Diet Coke was had by all.
And then Ron and I golfed.
Yes.
Which was a complete disaster, but so fun.
Absolutely. You know, I see it as, like, an opportunity to ride around a golf cart and get in touch with nature without actually having to, like, sweat.
Right.
Yeah, because that's right. Gross.
Right. And I see it as a way to show how pathetically challenged I am at sports.
That's okay, too.
And then once in a while, hit a shot where you go, yeah, I could be on the PGA Tour.
You could be on the tour.
Dude, I'm just getting stuck that from 180 yards, 2 feet from the pin.
I finally figured out my driver, and then you clank it on the next three holes.
Right.
So
it was an epic Father's Day.
Yeah. And like, I know people like to play golf fast. I'm more of a... I liked slow. I like a few minutes waiting for the people in front of me on the next tee so that you have a chance to talk and tell jokes and laugh about things. If it's too fast and there's no social aspect, it's not my bag.
Or if it's too intense. I've had some bad experiences where, like, people are just so angry because they missed a shot.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what? Swearing at the tee box, okay, whatever. Once in a while, you lose some balls. I bring 2 dozen balls with me every time I go.
Right.
And I burned through at least a dozen with you guys.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That's okay.
You know what? Costco has some cheap. So
that's,
like,
that's right.
You just go and gotta stop
get
there.
Them to sponsor it. But yeah, and I've been with those people too. I've even had people in my own family who they're intense and they're insanely competitive and like different games. And we're like, you know, we keep score as a formality, but really, I don't care who wins.
You know what I enjoyed a lot about the golf game with you this last weekend?
What is that?
Hanging out with your pops.
Yeah, sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, sponsor of the podcast. So I had not hung out with him very much. I've met him many times.
Yeah.
Right? Just like fleeting conversations or, you know, once in a while at your house when he comes over.
Right.
But on the golf course, you're stuck for 5 hours.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. I could see a lot of him in you. He is more of the serious side of you.
Yeah.
And your mom is the funny, crazy side of you. And
very
I can
much.
See, I can see both sides, and it's cool to like kind of bring that together and try.
No, it's very much like left brain, right brain.
Yeah.
Left brain, right brain. There it is.
Blaine.
I can't speak today.
Yeah.
So, no, it's fun. And he's very thoughtful and very pensive, but also likes to laugh and giggle. And if you catch him with like the right thing, and especially the right inappropriate joke, like he will just lose it and just laugh himself like silly. And that is the best feeling in the world. And that would come up like during scripture reading growing up and stuff like that. Someone starts reading with like an Irish accent or a Jamaican accent, and like just the seriousness kind of just melts away, and he's trying so hard not to laugh and just turns bright red. It is the funnest thing in the world.
Yeah, no, it's the best. He had a great sense of humor, although you could see the serious side and then the funny side would come out. I think it's amazing that you look at your kids and it's like shocking to see both sides, like both sides of the genetics come through.
Yeah.
And like there really is something about who your dad is and who your mom is, which makes, you know, that nature versus nurture, that nature piece, it's there.
Yeah.
And the nurture piece comes through from them, right? As they push on and like impact your personality.
No, and I think that's true. And I'm seeing that with my own children as well. I had a funny thing with my daughter last night. I constantly remind my wife that I have great teeth. So like other parts of my body, just, you know, metal on most of my knee and have hearing aids and whatnot. But like my teeth are just top notch. And I care for them very little. And my wife is the brushing twice a day, floss, and does just the best she can. And like there hasn't been a teeth that hasn't been drilled on in her mouth.
That's me. I have everything bad.
Yeah. But like me, I'll brush once a day, twice if it's, you know, been a particularly foul lunch or dinner. But and then floss, you know, a few times before you have your cleaning appointment. And I've had like one or two cavities my whole life.
Right. So now we know the answer to the newlywed question. Like, what part of your body does your spouse think is the best part of
that? Oh my gosh. If she doesn't say teeth.
Ron is all about the teeth.
It has to be teeth. Everything else is broken now.
Yeah.
And so my daughter, like, you know, her.
But before you go on, I just have to say my back hair is the best part of my body.
Absolutely. The way that your wife braids it is very sweet.
Well, she mows it for me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's gross. So last night she comes to kiss my wife goodnight, and my wife sees, like, you know, that her teeth aren't all the way cleaned and sends her back to another 2 minutes.
I love that. When you can see it on the teeth,
to her, nasty. You have to get the gums. You have to brush your gums. You have to do that. And I go to tuck her in and she's crying and she's like, everyone has perfect teeth except me. And I said, Whoa. First of all, dad is the only one that has perfect teeth. And I said,
and Mr. Ed.
And second of all, and I walked her through, like, mom's, it's been a real struggle. So she knows what she's talking about. And I said, your brother has all kids' teeth. So it doesn't matter. We're teaching them right now, but you have your permanent teeth coming in. Like, we're playing for keeps now. That's why we're learning it the right way. Your brother, he can still screw up and get cavities, whatever. They're going to fall out. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. When you're young and you don't have your adult teeth, it's like when you're a teenager and can't be tried as an adult.
Exactly.
Yet, right.
And so, but I had to remind her, Mike,
commit all the crimes you want.
Not, it's, yeah, sweetie, not everyone's perfect. Just dad. And just about this, about literally nothing else. And don't listen to me on how to do this right, because it is all genetic. And again, I'm okay here. Everywhere else, not so much. Here, knocking it out of the park.
So did she say, do I have your teeth then? Am I going to have the perfect
teeth? No. I think she's assumed she's going down her mom's path.
Yeah.
And if you look at her, I didn't have to have braces. You can already tell now she's going to have braces. And nothing's too horribly bad, but you can just tell she'll need braces one day.
Sure.
And that's okay. It's all good. But again, the throes and the emotions of an 8-year-old girl, you're constantly comforting. That's part of being the dad.
So did you, yeah, totally. That's a great skill that you have to develop.
Yeah.
With girls, the nurturing, like, soft side.
Yes.
I did not really have that. And I was raising my two daughters as a single dad.
Right.
And I didn't learn how to do that until I got Emily.
Yeah.
And my wife. She came into my life and was like, you can't say that to girls. And I had no idea. I was completely screwing up.
Right, right.
But they're doing well. And now my daughter, because I was so, like, just, like, treated her like a dude.
Yeah.
Even though, like a child, but, like, I was a little more straightforward with her than I think most dads are with their little girls.
Right.
She talks smack so well.
Oh, God.
She takes it down. She's amazing. She
will make someone cry.
Yeah, she makes even my oldest teenager kind of like a little nervous. Like she can get some sick burns in.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of proud of that.
No, and your boys are so sweet that I'm sure it's one of those things.
It's the reverse because they grew up with a single mom.
Yeah, so they're like, I'm supposed to be sweet to girls. I'm going to need to take this on the chin.
It's just mean. It's just mean.
Yeah. So like, there is a lot going on in the psychology here. And it is not for me, the person who got a D+ in psychology.
So did you get any nice Father's Day gifts? Like what's the deal in your family? We've totally screwed up Mother's Day, and we've had that episode.
We've documented that. I got some lovely cards, some gift cards. I got breakfast in bed, some scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
And thick bacon.
Nice.
Thick cut bacon. And then we did steak sandwiches for lunch and then went over to my parents' house for dinner.
Oh, yeah, that's like a perfect day.
Yeah, it's too many meals. I try to only eat like 2 meals a day, so like, I was just dying by the end of last night. I couldn't do it.
I'm down to 2 too because I do intermittent fasting.
Right.
So I eat breakfast / lunch around 11.
Right.
And then I eat dinner around 5 or 6. And then I don't eat after that.
Yeah. And I do something similar. It's just I'm usually not hungry till like 11 or 12. And Yeah, pretty much. But what about you? How was your day?
You know, my Father's Day, we started out strong with the boys' weekend, right, which we did. And then Sunday came along, and, you know, I got the little gifts. My kids, I bought myself an amazing present that I let my kids give me.
Mm-hmm.
I put a fridge in the backyard.
Nice.
In the little patio.
Excellent.
So I've got Diet Cokes, Diet Mountain Dew, Diet everything, all stacked in there. And so when I go out and I do my morning ritual, I go sit outside in the backyard and read and kind of get ready before the workday starts because there's no commute, right?
Yeah.
We're stuck at home
right. During
this COVID garbage. And I clear my mind before the workday starts and I just crack open. Let me get the sound effect for you guys. Oh, yeah.
That was crack good. Open
the that sounded awesome.
That was a good sound, man.
a Diet Coke and I just hang out and enjoy my morning. And now I don't have to like bring one in from the fridge
right
in the kitchen. I've got a little mini fridge outside ready for me.
And sometimes, you know, it's a reload morning. You might burn through 1.5. So
yeah.
you have that available.
To yeah. You. And then on Father's Day, I went to visit my grandparents and I was able to finally get in and see them at their assisted living facility.
Wow.
So that was like
it's been like 3 months, huh?
3 months. I have not seen them since February.
Oh, good. I'm glad
it's almost 4 months.
That's awesome.
And they're doing great, except for my grandma had broken her arm and she had pins sticking out of her arm.
Oh, that's a little
and gross. I was like, they wanted to show me all the pictures. They were so gross.
Medical people or older people like thrive on showing people.
That's all they got. They're like, I'm gross. I'm old. I'm in pain. But I can torture you with my medical pictures.
Let me talk to you about my urine, my stool samples, and everything else that's going with my body.
Dude, the worst thing about old people.
Okay.
I love my grandparents.
Yeah.
But my grandfather's toenails are the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Gross.
Dude, he went to Vietnam and he came back with some fungus in his toenails that like nothing can kill.
Wow.
Like literally, like I don't, they should be careful because it could
just
start the
like
next
Charlie.
COVID.
Just like Charlie.
Yeah. COVID 2020 or COVID 21 is going to come from my grandfather's toenails. Oh, I guarantee you.
I hope
he's going to bump into me, scratch my leg, infect me with something. And
it's
going it's all going
it's
everywhere.
The stuff that like The Walking Dead is based on.
Yes. The Walking Dead, actually the origin story was my grandfather's toenails.
He clipped an orderly that passed him in the hall.
And true story. He once paid me a quarter to give him an hour foot massage.
Yeah.
I did it. It was the worst hour of my life. I was like 8 years old and desperate for money.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's a true story. It's so bad.
Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
That quarter, it did not go a long way in buying me therapy for that.
No. Pretty much.
Pretty much, I'm going to have to go to a Father's Day sale and buy him a power tool to grind those toenails down.
Nice. Well, I think that's a good intro in today's thing, a special Father's Day edition of the podcast Hot Tub and Two Fat Dads.
Shout out to our sponsors.
Shout out to our
Ron's
sponsors.
Ron's dad, my dad.
Do you have any good dad stories growing up? And I can lay one on you while you're thinking about it if you'd like.
Why don't you go? I have some stories that I want to talk about where it's more a reflection of what I have learned and thought through my childhood and what I appreciate about my dad now that I'm older that I didn't appreciate earlier. So why don't you go for it? Yeah, yeah.
So and it's kind of great that we went golfing because the story is along that lines. When I was 16 years old, I can't remember if I had gotten my license yet or it was right before I got the license. Regardless, we had gone golfing with my uncle, who's going to be in the podcast nice. Hot tub pretty soon.
Nice.
Hopefully. And we will get him there. And my brother and my dad. And it was still a big deal because when you go golfing and you get to ride the golf cart, get to drive it around, you feel like a man. You've cracked that soda. You're driving around. You just feel free. And I remember we had done about 15 holes. And
how old were you again?
16 years
16.
Old.
So you have a license.
I had a license or a permit. I can't remember, but old enough that it's okay that I'm driving.
Yeah.
And I remember being 16, and I'll tell you at the end why I remember. So we finish hole 15. We need to shoot back to the clubhouse. The little brother has a baseball game.
By the way, 15 holes is more than enough. Golf should actually end at 13.
Completely agree.
Like what this
actually,
18?
I think 14 is the number.
Or 12, maybe? So there's like three quarters?
I think if you do 14, you're feeling good, because then the midway point is 7. 7 feels like a good midway
sure.
point. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So we finish that, and if you finish hole 15, you're just out on the furthest point in the course. There's not a trail back. So we're cutting through the course, and we reach this hill, and we're on top of this hill, and we look down, and there's this bump and at the bottom, but like I don't think anything of it. And my dad says, well, take it easy. And all that's going through my mind at that moment was it wasn't so distant that the movie Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls, is screaming through my brain. And there's a scene in the movie where Jim Carrey is screaming through the jungle with a guy in his Jeep and he's singing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And like wearing sunglasses. I'm wearing sunglasses and I'm starting to go down this hill and he's telling me to take it easy, not go so fast. And I'm just flooring it.
Oh, gosh.
And I start singing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, gosh.
And the look of terror in his eyes is like the same as the guy in the movie. So like, obviously, I'm crushing it. And we get to the bottom of this hill, and the bump turns out to be a sand trap. And what it is there's a narrow strip of grass that is big enough for a golf cart to get through. And my brother and my uncle, who are going slow, are able to navigate their way through the middle. I am going through so fast that, like, it's going to be 50-50. And we get through the middle. And we get to the middle of this grass area. There's a sand trap on the right, sand trap on the left. And I think I'm going to make it. When all of a sudden, I feel my back right tire slip into the trap.
Ooh.
Then I feel the front right tire slip into the trap.
Ooh.
My father goes tumbling out into the sand trap.
Oh, he bailed on you.
Oh, well, he fell out because like the jerk of the golf cart
slipping
into the trap sent him sprawling out into the sand.
That's actually probably better.
And maybe. In slow motion, I feel myself. I'm like, oh, this is going to flip on its side. So I naturally like step out onto the grass because, you know, I don't want to fall over with this golf cart. I don't want to ride or die with this. Not worth it to me.
Right.
So I step out onto the narrow strip of grass and watch in slow motion as the golf cart starts spiral, like just falling on its side. I see my father heroically stand up and throw his shoulder into the top of the ceiling of the golf cart to try to keep it in this precarious sideways position with two hills two mm-hmm. wheels on the grass and yeah. two in the sand.
Yeah.
And it knocks him over again.
And dude, he tried. He tried to be a superhero.
He tried to be a superhero.
That's so awesome.
And gets knocked over again. And I'm just standing there. The cart is on its side. My father is on the ground again and standing up and looking at me. And I'm just ready. I'm ready for a tirade. And my dad isn't much of a swearer, but right. I was expecting it because I've freaking rolled a golf cart on him. And
yeah,
naturally, I would expect that to be the reaction. And he just looks at me and says, "Chitty, chitty, bang, bang, chitty, freaking, bang, bang." And like he just seething. He is so mad. And those are the only words that he can say to me. And at this point,
you got lucky.
My uncle and my brother turn around and see that something has happened. They drive back. They help us get the cart out of the trap. By this time, the marshal has been notified or whatever. And it's like, hey, you shouldn't be letting kids drive the golf cart. And my dad looks at him and says, yeah, he's 16. He's just an idiot. And I did not play golf for 6 years.
Really?
You were banned? No, it was so traumatic for me personally that I'd never asked again. And I didn't want to go again.
Really?
Yeah.
That scared you to death, huh?
Oh, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
I had that same age. I had a very similar experience, like one of these life and death moments where
right.
you're riding a machine with your father.
Right.
And you're both adult size, right? Because you're 16, he's, you know, whatever, middle age.
Right.
And it was up in Park City. We were driving snowmobiles up like between Deer Valley and up in the mountains there.
Okay.
Right. And we had rented these snowmobiles and the snow is deep. Right. So you definitely don't want to get off because it's one of those moments where like you get off the snowmobile and the skis and you sink like 8 feet into the snow and you're like, what? You're
trapped. Yeah. Because the snowmobile like spreads, distributes
the weight.
Right.
Yeah. So you can kind of get through tons of powder. We're just flying through these meadows, like going through it. My dad's on the back. I'm driving
right.
the snowmobile and I'm like, oh, I'm going to gun it. So we go up this hill and it was so fun. And then we go down and we start getting speed and we see at the bottom, it's not just like it ends and it goes flat.
Yeah.
It's a V and it goes straight back up.
Oh, no.
And we're going like top speed down a hill. And we're at a point where you can't stop, right? Because you're going downhill on snow. There's no way you're going to be able to stop. You're just going to skid or like crash.
Yeah.
And I thought the skis were going to just stick into the side of the mountain instead of go back up.
Right.
Because it was too steep of an incline. And,
right.
And the upward side, this hillside going up was insanely steep.
Right.
So we both had this, oh crap moment where we're going to die together.
Yeah.
And you have your life. You're like, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes.
Yeah.
And I just gunned it and was like, hopefully this makes it back up.
Yeah.
And we full on made it. And it was like one of those moments where we're like, we could have died. We should have died. And
right.
And physics, the laws of physics just didn't have to happen at that moment.
See, almost.
It's a good bonding experience.
Almost dying, you know, getting close to the median, stuff like that isn't as good of a story. Just because I can tell you that as I've gotten older, I now appreciate that story. I've used it in like a yeah. lot of church talks and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Did you like pray and like before?
Oh,
like,
no.
And it was this miracle and this angel came down and a hand reached out.
No. None of that.
Thank you for not embellishing and making some bull crap out.
It's more about like just being stupid and being aware of what's around you and listening to those yeah. and like telling something so you're just not boring at the pulpit and
right.
let's just read a bunch of Isaiah and
right.
Deuteronomy and
right.
and just humanizing stuff.
Has your dad ever tried to save your life from another time? I mean, he tried. He was heroic. He just took like an elbow or his shoulder.
I think he was trying to save the golf cart and trying to prevent it from being broken.
Yeah.
But I mean, like nothing as dramatic as that. Like I think fathers save their family's lives. And my parents are at least feel that way on a daily, weekly basis.
Yeah.
And how I was raised and how they treated me and provided for me. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't ever Bruce Willis and Die Hard sort of thing.
So my dad saved my life in two different times.
Oh, tell me about it.
One time, I was like 5 years old.
Okay.
We're driving down this main road in Seoul, Korea. It's called Gwanghwamun. It's Gwanghwamun. It's the main road that goes from Nam Dae Moon, which is the South Market, all the way up to the main palace and up to the president's house. And it's like, it's got the U.S. Embassy. It's got all these huge buildings. It's like, I think it's probably like 8 lanes of traffic on either side.
Gotcha.
Or 5 or 6. It's, I mean, it's a main crazy road. You can go pretty fast on it on a Sunday because it's empty, right? I'm driving with my dad to his office. And I remember this very clearly. I'm sitting in the front seat. And I didn't have a seatbelt on because it was the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. They never even asked us to put a seatbelt on. No. I remember the first time my grandparents made us put a seatbelt on. We were like, who are these fascists?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Last time I checked, this was America.
Right? they made the law in like the late 80s. And exactly. They're like, you got to put this on. And I'm like, no.
Right.
We crawl wherever we want. This is ridiculous. So we're going down that main road. And I don't have a seatbelt on. I'm playing with the door. And I open up the door. We're going like 50 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And I must have been in a weird position. And I slid out of the car.
Oh my gosh.
And my dad reaches over and grabs my arm. My feet are bouncing on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
Pulls me in and reaches over and slams the door shut. And he saved my life in that moment. And he probably doesn't even remember the story. I still remember because it was so traumatic for me.
Right.
To feel the road bouncing, your legs bouncing on the road like 50 miles an hour. Because it was so shocking when the door went and you're just like sucked out.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, that gives me anxiety just hearing it. What was the other time?
The other time was a little more serious.
Okay.
And it was metaphorically he saved my life.
Okay.
When I was, before I got divorced, I was super freaked out because I had not told anyone all the crazy things that were happening in my life.
Okay.
The mental illness, like the weird accusations, just all this weird stuff that was happening.
Right.
And maybe one of these days we'll get super deep on the podcast and I can talk about my experience because I think it's important to talk about because I'm sure there are other people out there, both men, male and female, that are in very toxic relationships but don't have anyone to talk to. Or don't have a support system that they believe they have to, or they feel ashamed. And so they stay in something that's abusive and you should be out.
Yeah.
Right. Things were going really bad. I was very afraid from a legal perspective, like things were going to get, escalating.
A whole lot worse. Right.
And I didn't know how to protect my children from her and her bad behavior. And there were all these things. And I remember it was all going down and I called my dad and he magically was in the US, which happens quite a bit because he comes here for business, even though he lives in South Korea. And he met me for dinner and at this Italian restaurant in Palo Alto. And I remember just saying, can we just meet alone? I need to talk to you. And because he was with his wife and I think my stepbrother, my half brothers. And so he met me alone and I felt comfortable enough to bring up what I needed to get help. And I was super nervous that he was going to freak out or like be angry or pass judgment as I shouldn't have been, but I was.
Right.
And he looked at me and just with love and understanding said, I love you and I will help you whatever you need. And he helped me and supported me emotionally and financially. Because my attorney's fees were not cheap. He got me in touch with great people and, you know, basically saved me from and saved my girls in a significant way by giving me that help. And my life would not be as great as it is now without that moment. Yeah. And it's literally everyone, we screw up as parents all the time.
Right. Especially.
Me especially.
Right.
I say the wrong... I treat my girls like they're tough little boys. You know, I bring McDonald's with them to church on a fast Sunday.
Yeah.
Like
oh, I won't concede that's a screw-up, but keep going.
It's a screw-up when they're eating a Happy Meal in the foyer and like people are smelling the fries and McDonald's kind of stinks. Like there's a McDonald's smell.
There's a musk.
And that we love. Right. Yeah. But it's very specific.
Absolutely.
And like so many people were like totally like mad that not that because it was the afternoon church. So it was like 2 o'clock.
Oh, and people were
fasting forever. Yeah. They're grumpy. Yeah. And you're smelling McDonald's fries. That is just mean.
Yeah.
So that was bad.
But you need to tell that story to your girls and to your boys one day, because I think there's, especially within the Mormon culture, there's this, you know, and there's truth to be had in everything. Like, yeah, you should fight like hell to make your marriage work. There are some scenarios where it's okay to tap out and say, this doesn't work, and we're all going to be in a very bad spot if we keep going down this path.
Yeah.
And there just needs to be a little bit of love. And our kids just need to know we're always comfortable with them.
There's, yeah.
And that they can do that, and that we will move heaven and earth to support them. And,
yeah.
And I love that story. I think that's so cool. You asked me before the podcast, like, what are some of the things that, like, you've learned from your dad that have been the most instrumental to me growing up and tried to carry on in my own marriages? And I could say that, so my grandma has passed within the last 3 months, but this applies to both my dad and his dad. When I was growing up, we would go visit my grandparents for about a week every summer.
Yeah.
And my grandpa would make these just insane jokes that we still talk about today. Like, he would buy a PlayStation to have at his house, and we would sit and play it, and we would love it, and it would be...
Would he play it with you?
Be awesome. He would watch, he would hang out, he would just be jazzed.
The older you get, you cannot play video games.
We were happy. And and so he said to us one day, he's like, you know, I got me a PlayStation in my bedroom. And we're like, really? When did you get that? He's like, oh, no, I just call. That's what I call your grandma.
Hey!
And like this, like dirty old, and my grandma would always, the big thing that she would do would be like, stop it, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it, Ron.
Yeah.
And it was so, like, priceless. And one time he showed us his watch, and he's like, it's my new watch. It's got that Indiglo in it. And, lets me check things out under the covers. And like, this is like when I'm 10, 11,
you
9.
Have no idea
and I'm
what
like,
he's
no, I do.
Oh,
I do. And it's gross. And I even remember going to, there was a big family vacation when I was older, and my parents brought my grandparents, and my grandma decided to venture out into the ocean. And it was hilarious, because normally where we stay, there's not very big waves, but whatever reason, tide of storms, there are big waves in the bay, and grandma got pummeled, and my grandpa was just sitting on the shore laughing his butt off. Ron, you gonna go help him? No, I'm gonna watch this play out. And grandma ended up going back into the room, and she was complaining about it that night. You wouldn't believe how much sand I had in my swimsuit, and da-da-da, and Grandpa chimes in and says, yeah, and I even offered to climb in the shower and help her get all the sand out of all those places.
Oh.
And she wouldn't let me. And,
oh, man.
And so, and my dad, like, always comes home and kisses my mom. And, like,
that's a great thing to learn.
Is affectionate. And, like, even when they're alone and think that we weren't looking, like, they would hug and, like, do that and joke around and, like, giggle like they were people who had just gotten married. And I caught myself the other day, because I had said to my wife, like, you know, it was a Sunday afternoon, or, hey, do you want to go lay down and have quiet time? And sometimes we'll put a movie on for the kids and literally just take an hour and just rest.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter turns to me and gave me what she doesn't know is, like, the best compliment in the world. She's like, oh, you're going into the room to have some kissy kissy time. No, we were just going to have a quiet time. But, like, my kids see me being affectionate to my wife, and they're developing a belief that this is normal.
Yes.
And it should be normal.
Right.
It should be normal that, like, you should love your wife and kiss them when you get home and embrace them. And times when the kids don't know your kids are watching, like, and have that be like, this is how dad treats mom. I went after our Father's Day weekend thing. I went and got flowers at the store, and I always try to get my wife. When I get my wife flowers, I try to get my daughter like a small bouquet as well. Just like, mm-hmm. you need to know that this is normal and what people should be doing.
Nice.
And so like that is good one of you. The best lessons they've taught me is like, whether you're in your 30s, whether you're in your 50s, or whether you're a dirty old man in your 60s and 70s, like, you leave no doubt that you care about this person and you're still into them as much as you are when you got married, both like as a friend and as someone like you want to have kissy kissy time with.
Right.
So that's probably one of my favorite things about both my father and my grandfather.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I'm just thinking about what are the things I learned from my dad. And I think the biggest thing I've learned from him is that I will do anything for my kids.
Oh, that's cool.
I will give, you know, financially, emotionally, I will do, and I will stop and take care of them and meet their needs. And like, I can't see anything more important in my life.
Right.
Work? No. Church? No.
No.
Social life? No. Nothing is important enough for me to put that in front of my kids. And I learned that in a lot of ways from my dad. The other father that was in my life that was significant to me was on my mom's side, my mom's father. When my parents divorced and I moved to Utah as a teenager, he lived nearby. So my mom was a single mom in this big house that was older and needed repairs once in a while.
Right.
And my grandfather was the kind of guy that didn't throw things away and would fix something and use that same thing forever and could fix things. Like, just had so much experience, like, with his hands fixing things that he, you know, lawnmower was broken. Oh, I can fix that, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't take it to the shop. Don't throw it away. And so he would come over and support my mom and help her around the house. And the thing that I learned from him was he was always a gentleman, which was great, with his wife. And I always noticed that, opened the doors, did that thing. He was very classical that way, but very respectful of her. She was a college graduate. She would do things. So it wasn't like he was like, you know, not pro feminism, right?
Right, right.
And individuality. But he was very much a chivalrous guy. But the thing that I loved about him and that I have failed as a father and need to do more of is every time he would come over to fix something, I had to be with him. And I had to fix it with him.
Right.
And I learned how to do all of those things, like the plumbing and the electrical and the heating and like all of those things that you kind of need to know, or you spend a fortune on a plumber or whatever else, right? Or
right.
a handyman. And that has always given me the confidence that I can solve a problem.
Right.
And just having that, like, I can fix this and I will figure this out and I will be able to do it with my own hands.
Right.
And I don't need someone else's help all the time. Gave me so much confidence, and I'm very, very grateful that he gave me that example. And I don't think I would have ever had that because, you know, he was retired. He just come over anytime.
Yeah.
You know, most dads are working all the time. We don't have that, and that's probably why I'm so bad at it with my kids.
Right. Well, and it's hard. Yeah, you're exhausted at the end of the day after work. My wife's father is like that, and she gets a lot of that from him in terms of wanting to be frugal and figure it out, and then you call someone as kind of a last resort. So,
right.
So when we installed the Ring doorbell, my wife installed it, and she figured out how to do this and turn the lights out and do all those things, and challenged me to some extent. Like when we were doing home repairs and demolition and stuff like that, I was trying to measure up to my father-in-law, who could figure these things out on his own. So I took a lot of pride in some of the stuff that I've done in terms of repairs and renovations we have, whether it's demo or figuring out how to make something and do something, building side tables with my kids, because that's stuff my father-in-law would have done. And it carries over, and it was a good expectation for my wife to have because it made me better. When we first got married, I had never even... This is embarrassing. You ready?
I've heard so many of these when you first got married, all the things you didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
Because you grew up as like this like wussy little rich boy.
Oh, no, it wasn't like that. But like I was less experienced with the lawnmower. And when I say less experienced, I mean I had never mowed a lawn before.
Dude, that's what you, when you grow up in Southern California with your white privilege, that's what happens, buddy.
Wow, thanks, dude. Ayo. So it was my wife, like, this is what you do, and this You're is like, how you do it. And I took a lot of joy in that, especially living in Nebraska and having a lawn.
Probably had a huge lawn.
I mean, everyone lived on like a 0.2 acres.
Because you grow your own corn, right?
We actually did. It grew really well.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Just in our planter boxes, just decided to grow some corn.
Oh, man. No, I hate it when I do a joke and
it wasn't that hard. It grew well, but figuring out like cross-cutting and mowing at different angles, it was delightful, and putting on headphones and just zoning out to the world. It was a really interesting thing.
When you cross-cut, does that make that like design? Yes. Like you're like at Dodger Stadium and you see in the outfield?
Not as hardcore as that, but yeah, you can figure out designs and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
So it was fun to do those things. And again, I was pushed because that was the expectation. I was trying to measure up to my father-in-law, or at least not embarrass myself all the time.
So when you have something break at your house, do you call your wife and say she needs to come over and fix it?
It depends on what it is. Like,
or she doesn't come over.
With electronics. No, we still occupy the same residence.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's electronics and stuff, that's her forte. So my mom needed a Ring camera and installed in her garage.
So electrical.
And needed a few things fixed.
Yeah.
I said, I'll send her over to install it and reprogram your garage door and stuff like that. Like, that's just her wheelhouse.
Nice.
She wants to install.
She's tech support.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do.
She's tech support.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can do some other things, but, she definitely is the handier one in the family and is more likely to, you know, get on YouTube and Google, how do I do this? And
which is unbelievable, by the way. I don't know how I survived doing home projects without watching videos on YouTube. Reading instructions is for weirdos. I put up a slack line the other day for the kids to play outside.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to use the ratchet because I'm like, which way do I put it through? And like, how do I do this? Like, because you have to wrap it through it a certain way and then bring it back.
Yeah.
And I couldn't read the instructions because they were so like, they're like photocopied too many times.
Yeah.
And they were so faded. And I'm like, there's no way I can see how this really works. Went on YouTube, saw someone do it in 2 seconds. I'm like,
YouTube is great.
There's like 17 videos on how to put up a slack line correctly. Like, there's unlimited topics.
YouTube's great. My father-in-law was a guy who used to go check out books in the public library. Like, how do I install my sprinkler system?
He'd totally.
Go to the library, go get these books, and then
yeah.
go do it on the weekend after being gone for a couple weeks. Like, he was the manly man.
Things just took way too long.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. There's these little things in our lives, like podcasts and YouTube and Candy Crush and whatever else you're doing on your phone, right? That brings so much convenience to us. How, like, going back in time for someone who's very, like, let's say you take like a millennial,
right?
That's always grown up with the internet, always had everything, right? And they had to go back in time and live in like the 70s and 80s where they're, or even like 60s and 70s.
Oh, they want people to do it.
Dude. It would be like the worst.
I don't think
torture.
You could do it.
I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
Like remember we in LA, we had to drive around with Thomas guides.
Yeah.
Because like all the street names. Yeah. Right? It wasn't like growing up in Utah where like
clarify,
everything was
on a grid.
If
someone under 30 ever listens to the podcast, a Thomas guide is just a giant set of maps that you kept in your whatever, any sort of under your seat or wherever it would fit. It's
right.
Just a bunch of freaking maps and you had to figure out where you were on the map. It was like playing a game of Battleship. Okay, we're in the C7 quadrant, and
exactly.
We're trying to get to E17. And
exactly.
And continue on to page 17 for the rest of this map. It was insane.
It was insane. Dude, taking away the Thomas guides would literally people, there's no way they could handle that.
No,
taking away GPS, I'm sorry, and having to go back to Thomas guides.
No, and it's true. And like that's how we've kind of become ingrained in our society. And I think it's one of the problems. And I'm not the expert. I got my strong D+ in psychology, and that's a story for another day because that's a good one as well. My father showing a very measured response when
I actually appreciate that you failed that.
Yeah,
because I feel like people that are super into psychology are crazy mothers.
Well,
and we got to stay away from that.
Well, and I'll tell you after
probably
this,
why I like you.
But the problem is. I do think it is a major problem today is I don't think we're okay being alone with our thoughts. I don't think we're okay with quiet time. I mean, AirPods are so prevalent.
Yeah.
Something's blaring, whether it's music, whether it's a podcast, and it should always be the Two Fat Dads podcast. So we're not bagging on that. But there has to be all this consumption. I remember my father was a singles ward bishop and told the story of someone, with the guy's permission, shared a story of someone he had met during that experience where, let me rephrase that so I don't say he got it from someone when he was a bishop. Will you cut it? Okay. I'm going to start the story again.
Okay.
So my father once told me the story of a young man he was talking to. He was really struggling with school, and he had asked him, did you make it to class this week? How'd it go? And he just said, I couldn't get out of my car. I couldn't walk away from the music that was on the radio.
Really?
And he was just that. So being alone with your thoughts, having that OCD where you need to like hear the end of a song and stuff like that, that's how we become so entrenched in our own minds. We have to hear the ending. We have to know what's going on, that it disrupts the rest of our lives, whether it's school, mm-hmm. work, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. But the D+.
Do you know what song he was listening to?
I don't
that
know.
That must be one epic
song. I don't know. Probably Cats in the Cradle, man. But the D+, and I'll tell it quick because I know we're running out of time. My freshman year of college, I went to BYU. I was only there a semester before my Mormon mission. And I lived with guys where I was considered one of the more studious people. And I had a 2.7 GPA by the time I was done with that semester.
Good boy.
Including a D+ in psychology. And I called home to report. And I quoted Tommy Boy. I called my dad and I said to
him. That's an appropriate quote, by the way.
I said, I got a D+ in psychology. Apparently, there's fewer D pluses than just D. So I really think I hit a home run there. And he was not amused. Can you believe that?
Right.
So again, it's something that's I constantly am reminded about. It's one of the funnier stories coming out of the freshman year. But yeah, the guys next door to me, each of them had a 0.5 GPA. I think my roommate had a 1.7. When I tell you that I was one of the more studious people.
You were.
I really was.
Yeah.
Everyone came back from their missions on academic probation, but everyone ended up turning up really well.
That's a great idea. I feel like maybe we should only judge our children's report cards with the context of seeing their friends' report cards at the same time.
Yeah. But do you know what?
Is my child the dummy of the group, or are they the smart one? And they can go, okay, great.
Do you know what he did say to me, though, as I was leaving on my mission? He said, I know your GPA wasn't stellar. I am really grateful that you went and had such a great experience and got to meet all these new people, and we'll have lots of friends when you come back.
Right.
So, like, dad just surprises you from time to time.
Yeah.
Just how measured their response and how thoughtful their responses are. And I think we just really knocked it out of the park, not through anything else other than luck, that we got the dads that we have and the sponsors of our podcast.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, thanks, Ron. I think we can all say happy Father's Day to all our listeners.
Happy Father's Day.
We love our fathers.
And thank you, all those moms who made all those fathers dads. So good work there.
Good work. Because they didn't really have to do much. The father's job is not the creation. It is to maintain stability, to allow us to mature, to become good fathers.
There you go.
Right.
And that's
maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know.
That happens.
Yeah. So happy Father's Day to everyone. I know it's already passed, but hopefully we'll publish this before it's like July 4th. Removed.
There you go.
But good to see you, Ron.
Good to see you, buddy. Take care.
Take care.